Okay, my guest on Podcast Them Softly today is none other than a very talented actor and stuntman, David No. David is star of various very cool movies, The Matrix Reloaded, Mr. Nice Guy, Jackie Chan, Under the Gun, some other Australian TV shows too. I see Enter the Matrix, Video Game, a lot of really cool stuff. We're also here to talk about Blindsided, the game, as part of the series. I've already spoken to the star and the director. David's one of the performers. David, thank you for being on Podcast Them Softly.
How you doing?
Good, mate. Tremendous. It's nice to interview a familiar accent.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been in Australia, but it's actually something that's on my wish list to try and get back and see the family and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, you got to go where the action is, and ain't no better place than sunny Los Angeles, I believe.
Yeah, but the last few years it's been quite a roller coaster ride. I did a lot of work with the Korean film industry, and after directing a film called Forged, I ended up moving to LA. But then there were writer strikes back then. That was 2008.
Right.
And at the same time as the writer strikes, I got offered work in Korea, and so I moved to Korea.
Wow.
And it was a combination of a few different factors. It was the work, and then also my grandmother got some pretty serious surgery.
Right.
And I sort of, you know, she has always been in my life, but she didn't really speak English, and my Korean wasn't so good. So I gave it my challenge to learn Korean before she passed away. So I kind of wanted to be based there and absorb the culture a little bit.
Well,
and learn to speak the language.
Wow. So David, let's set the Wayback Machine and go back to the beginnings of your training and then your eventual career. Can you tell our listeners how you got started in the business?
So both my parents are martial artists, so I was doing martial arts my whole life. And I was studying physiotherapy in Australia, in Melbourne. And an occupational therapist lived next door to a film school student, and he wanted to make a Hong Kong-style action movie as his final year piece. And that film was called The Huntsman and went on to become this whole cult success. You know, this was way, way before YouTube. The film was actually shot on film,
right,
and edited on film.
Wow.
You know, Brent Houghton was the director, and he actually took strips of film, cut them up, taped them together, you know, all that business.
Right, yeah.
And that was, you know, that was the eye-opening, the door open for me for the film industry, and, you know, loved being tough. Was the fight choreographer as well as the main actor. So after that, while I was still studying, I started learning, you know, I started acting classes, and then Brent and I formed a partnership, and we kind of made Furious Films, and we started writing a whole bunch of film projects, because, you know, our desire was to create genre pictures in Australia and make, you know, something that no one was really doing back then. You know?
Right, yeah.
And the main film industry, when we approached them, they were like, Australians can't do action. You know, there was no confidence in the producers or the distributors that Australians can do action, which is, of course, total rubbish, because Australian stunt performers work on all these big Hollywood films that come to Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the Australian film history, we have quite a deep film history. The Australian film industry was the biggest in the world in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And then in the, you know, in the 10BA days of good tax incentives in the 80s, Australia was making a lot of genre pictures, but of course all that went away.
Yeah, sadly.
So, you know, we really tried to interface with the mainstream industry, with the Screen Producers Association. We actually pitched at the pitching competition. We won the pitching competition. We went to Cannes. We wrote some films for Beyond and ArcLight and Franchise Pictures. So it was really quite successful time, but eventually we ended up, you know, getting involved with, you know, because we all have to work and we all have to live. So I ended up getting involved with producing Korean content, which is a totally another story. You know, after the Jackie Chan film, I got hired on a Korean commercial as an actor. This was for Samsung.
Right.
And they were looking for, you know, Olympic athletes. And I was in the Australian taekwondo team at one stage. I was in the Australian judo team in another time.
Right.
And so I came on as a performer for these sports. And the production company was based in Melbourne, but were run by Australian Koreans and serves exclusively the Australian, the Korean film industry. So they end up, you're half Korean. That's interesting. Oh, you've worked with Jackie Chan. Oh, you can drive. Because at that time I also got my stunt qualification. So the next week they were looking for a stunt driver for a car commercial. And so I got to know these people a little bit, and eventually they were like, we want to do this commercial with Jackie Chan, and they wanted to shoot in Melbourne, and they wanted us to pitch to direct it as the local team.
Right, right.
And what ended up happening was that Jackie was shooting the Medallion in Thailand at the time. He couldn't move, so they got a Korean director, but they asked me to go and produce it anyway, since I had a relationship with him. So the... You know, with Purist Films had made a lot of indie stuff, low budget stuff, but kind of the first big thing I produced was a $4.5 million commercial with Jackie Chan. You know,
wow.
Explosions, car chases, hundreds of extras, helicopters,
yeah.
You know, it was like crazy.
I think I vaguely remember the ad too.
Yeah. So then after that they were like, oh, David can do Korean style. So then, you know, it was off to the races, and I started becoming in demand as a facilitation producer for the Korean film industry.
Right, wow. And it would be remiss of me not to point out, our American listeners probably won't know too much about it, but maybe the Brits will. You many actors go through Neighbours. At some point in this country, it seems to be a staple of many. Yeah.
I worked in Neighbours a few times, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Played a little stunt acting role very early in my career.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, they actually had a judo scene.
Okay.
Where one of the characters was learning judo, so I was involved in that process as well.
Right, right.
Hmm.
Okay, so
I also did some work on Home and Away at some time. Did some driving.
Okay.
For Home and Away.
There you go. You did both sides of the
fence. There you go. Did them both.
The beach
and I did what was it? I had a role on
Blue Healer.
Blue Healer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Stingers was shot in Melbourne, and you know there's a few times where I worked on Stingers in various capacities.
Well, there you go. You
like the SOG and you know.
You've done the Australian staples anyway. Yeah. What was working on the Matrix Reloaded like? That looked like it was a very fun, full-on production. What was the Matrix experience like?
Yeah, it was like no other film in the sense that films tend to feel very family. You know, you're with the same people for, you know, 12 weeks or more. And, you know, you're seeing the same people day in, day out, and you're eating with them. So it becomes a big family.
Right, right.
With the Matrix Reloaded, the Matrix trilogy, we actually shot Matrix Reloaded, Revolutions, and Enter the Matrix computer game. We shot them all together at the same time.
Wow, yeah.
Over 18 months. Six months was in San Francisco, and 12 months was in Sydney.
Wow.
And that was like moving to a new city. It was just so ginormous, so big, so many people. Left hand didn't necessarily know what the right hand was doing half the time. And it was an eye-opener for me. I was quite young at that time, and I kind of felt like I was sort of given this opportunity. I think I went up and did a stunt audition first.
Okay.
And then separate to that, my acting agent called me and said, look, we have this role for you. So I went up to do the audition in Sydney, and I walked into the audition room, and it was the Wachowskis actually running the audition.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of like something I wasn't expecting. And, you know, we did the scene, and then they asked me to flip it and change it, and I was able to respond, and then I heard nothing.
Right.
You know, for months. And then I heard something. Oh, I come up for a wardrobe fitting. So I fly up, do a wardrobe fitting, fly back down, and then I hear nothing. Like, this was going on for quite a while. And by the time I was finally up there, I was able to train with some of the best stunt actors and stuntmen in the world. You know, there was a Yun Wu Ping, Hong Chinese team.
Wow, yeah.
And then there was the American team was, at that time, was called Smash Cut, but it was it's basically what 8711 is now. So 8711 Action Design, the stunt coordinator was Chad Stahelski, who is the director of John Wick.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He's in John Wick 2, and he's currently in New York shooting John Wick 3.
Yeah.
So I've had quite a long relationship with 8711 and Chad and Dave. David, the other side of 8711, you know, he's just directed Deadpool 2, and then before that he directed Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
And they co-directed John Wick 1. And he's signed on to direct Hobbs, which is the Fast and Furious spin-off.
Right, yeah. Wow. Big time.
So, you know, good luck to those guys. I really do think that stuntmen these days are some of the leading filmmakers in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the reason why is because the stunt department now is... It's not like they just turn up and do stuff. They have to do a lot of previews. So they actually shoot, come up with the scenes, the action sequences, a lot of the fight scene sequences, especially action choreographers or fight choreographers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the human body moves in such a complex way to shoot great fight scenes in a dynamic way that is interesting and... yet you can sort of see everything that you need to see. Now, that's a pretty complex skill.
Yeah.
You know, it's far more complex to do that than to shoot dialogue.
Yes.
So, you know, I think, and a lot of the guys that are, you know, on their A game, you know, they totally understand drama, they totally understand story, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, they've worked in and around it for so long. I mean, it's no surprise that they're all coming to the forefront now and sort of saying, well, we can do this, which leads me to talk about the film that which is a great little film, is Blindsided the Game, which is a tremendous little Zatoichi, Blind Fury, you know, homage.
I had actually come to LA 2016, January 2016, something like that.
Right.
And I came for a film festival, and I had planned to be in LA for a month, and I was going to, I did have an O-1 work visa, and I was going to extend it, and the studios here have no longer, they're no longer accepting an O-1 so easily, unless they themselves issue it, it's very complicated, so a lot of people, this is big, you know, was a huge problem for a lot of people, not just me. I know someone that went on set with an O-1, shot a day's work, and then they they said, look, we can't use the footage, we're going to have to reshoot it. And, wow. You know, you can't be involved because you don't have the right paperwork or something like that.
Wow, yeah.
And it happened to me too. I was asked to go and work on the last ship, and I turned up, filled out the paperwork, and I was about to go on set, and the AD said, oh, no, we can't hire you today.
Right.
So all of a sudden, I had no choice but to jump to a EB1 green card, and from 1 month, I ended up staying for 11 months, and
wow.
I applied for my own green card. The entertainment lawyers wanted way too much money, so I became an immigration attorney for a short time, and applied for my green card. Got my green card probably around June-ish, and in that time, I was just training, and Clay is an old friend of mine. We knew each other first. We first met each other in Belgium. I was in the Australian taekwondo team. He was in the US taekwondo team.
Right.
And he was also involved in the film industry as I was. So he contacted me and said, look, you know, I want to do this thing. Can you produce it for me? And at that time, I didn't have my green card yet. And they had my passport, so I couldn't leave. So I was kind of in this no man's land. I was just training every day sort of thing. And I was like, what else can I do? Sure, let's do it.
Right.
So that was the first blindsided film, which was like a 13-minute film.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, we put it together. He hadn't directed anything at that time. And I sort of said, look, you know, if we do this, let's make it like, you know, he wanted the practice of directing. You know,
right.
Because he's pushing to direct in the future. So I said, look, if we make this, let's not make it as a just a little video. Let's make it as a proper film and go through all the steps that you have to take on a big project. So
yes.
You know, we took it even though we tried to do it for cheap and we, you know, cut a lot of corners, at the same time we still followed the same sort of process that a bigger film would follow.
Yes.
And then that film just blew up. It did huge business, and you know we never sold it. You know, it's just a short film, but on the internet it did like, I don't know, 700,000 hits on Facebook and YouTube together, and you know it was quite popular. And the feedback was, we want to make, you know, we want to see more. It feels like, you know, something else is going to happen. And so the next year, Claire was like, let's make a sequel. So I was like, okay, well, how about we make a sequel that just continues the story? I had experience with a Korean director named Roo Seung-wan, who has made a lot of cool movies like City of Violence and Berlin File and these sort of Arahan is another one of his. His first film that really started his career was a film called Die Bad,
right.
Which was made with four short films cut together.
Okay.
So he just went out and made a short film, and then made another short film, and then made another short film, and then ended up cutting them together and selling it as a feature film.
Okay, wow.
So, yeah, so with that in mind, we set about writing the script so that it kind of, the events happen directly after the first film.
Okay.
And then in the post-production process, decided, yeah, let's just cut them together and put it out as one project.
That's great. I mean, like I said, it's great action. It's a little bit of a throwback. I think it's so wonderful that all you guys are taking more of a front row seat in the you know, like you said, the you know, all these stuntmen becoming directors. You know, before, you know, the stuntman was kind of, you know, just the stuff the actor couldn't do for whatever reason, or, you know, for legal reasons,
yeah.
or insurance reasons or whatever. But now, I mean, it's you're taking, you know, an upfront role, and the films, like you mentioned a few of them, the John Wick films, Atomic Blonde, Blindside, you know, that it's only getting better. I mean, I still believe that stuntmen should be given an Academy Award. I mean, there's some stuff, insane stuff that only you guys have got the chutzpah to do.
Sure.
Yeah, I think after, you know, I mean, there was a lot of talk after Fury Road came along that stuntmen really need to be recognized a lot more, because some of the stunts in the movie were just, you know, insane. But that's not to
I mean,
discredit, yeah.
that's every project, every year now they're talking about it, and
Yeah.
I'm still at a loss for words why, you know, what is the resistance? So
Yeah.
why are they holding back, you
Yeah.
know?
Because I mean,
Especially.
it's a legitimate category. I mean, because there are not only individual, great individual stunt performers, but like you've mentioned, incredible teams, which also could be factored into that, the stunt teams that go around and do these big movies.
Well, the bottom line is that the stunt, you know, what you should probably call it is action design. You know, the action design is a creative component of the film. It's no less creative, if anything, it's more creative than some of the other departments that that receive an Academy Award. So, you know, this is kind of the point, you know, I make in terms of what the modern stunt department has to do, and the fact that they have to basically be filmmakers to do their job. That was one of the things that when I arrived, because, you know, yes, I'm an actor. I have stunt skills. I'm a stuntman. But I'm also a filmmaker. I've also directed films, and I like putting these films together. When I arrived in LA, I didn't understand how important that knowledge has become. So, like, I was asked to help out on some previs for some, you know, some big projects, and, you know, I could see that, you know, the cameraman needed a hand on his back. I could see that, you know, the editing, you know, someone's off to the side editing, you know, slamming takes together, and I could see that, you know, he needs to take off a couple of frames here, a couple of frames there, and so that's actually when Clay, I think Clay and Lionel, I was working with them on a concept shoot for Black Panther, and they both kind of turned around and went, "Oh, Lordy, David knows a lot about filmmaking," you know. So that's kind of how I think Clay went, "Oh, yes, Dave, can you know, let's make this film together." And like, I've known Clay for, you know, I don't know, 20 years or something. I've known Lionel for an equal amount of time, or Lionel Stobble. I've known him for a long time. Again, back in the days when people would send, before YouTube, people would send videos to each other, or they would, you know, upload them to a page, and then people would, you know, with dial-up modems, you know, log in and watch these videos. And there's a, you know, a small international community of, you know, stunt action filmmakers that kind of had this network together. And that's how I knew Eric. I knew Eric from way back then, you know, from him making his films with the stunt people, his little group. And, you know, I was in Australia making little films like The Huntsman and Huntsman 5.1. So, you know, people knew of each other. And that was the really weird thing, is like the very first film I'd done, The Huntsman, I was in Cannes, and someone, actually, that someone is Scott Adkins. But I was in Cannes, and two people got into the elevator, and one guy goes, "Oh, excuse me, but are you the Huntsman?" It freaked me out. I mean, why would anyone know that, you know? And, you know, look at Scott Adkins now. He's, you know, doing great business.
Yeah, doing big things. And what have you got next yourself? Anything exciting you can tell us about?
You know, it's sometimes really hard to talk about upcoming projects. I don't know whether I can.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of things on the boil.
Okay.
Yeah,
big things, little things, all sorts of things.
So there's a little project that a stunt coordinator over here wants to make. Hank Kenji Jr. He's quite a renowned stunt coordinator. He comes from stunt coordinating pedigree. His father was a very famous stunt coordinator.
Right.
He came out and helped when we did the high fall on Blindsided.
Okay.
And so he's second unit directing these days and wants to jump into directing also. So
right.
He approached me about producing his film and then asked me to play the main role in it. But that's just a little love project on the side, and it looks like we're putting it on the back burner for now because he's got a bigger project that's just moved forwards.
Oh, well.
And I just got a phone call today that maybe I have another project in New York, so I might be going somewhere else.
Excellent. You got to go where the momentum is, I suppose, in the movie business. Whatever's got legs, jump on it.
Well, yeah. At the end of last year, I actually damaged my shoulder quite bad. You know, I had great momentum from touching down in LA. I've been non-stop, basically, have been offered work and, you know, have gone from job to job. Some of those, you know, obviously something like Blindsided and Blindsided the Game, they were love projects, but, you know, if I do a project, money or not, you know, you have to put all your passion, all your energy into it. Can't go, well, this is not paying me, so I'm not going to do it properly. You can't be that guy.
It's another advert for yourself and your abilities. You know, the more it gets seen, the more people who are unaware of what you've done might be their first experience. You know, the Huntsman back in the day. I mean, you know, this could be like a new thing. This might be the first time. Hey, look at that dude. You know, he's good. Let's get him. You know.
I think that you should always sharpen your knives. You should always be ready. So as a martial artist, that's kind of, you know, I need to keep training. You know, everyone needs to do that. As a filmmaker, you have to do that. So if you're going to train as a, you might as well make something out of it. Shoot something. Shoot a short film and learn through that process, or at least exercise those muscles. Exercise your filmmaking muscles. Exercise your acting muscles. All that sort of stuff. And a lot of the big projects have their own parameters. So, you know, you have to follow their parameters, their goal. You know, when you're making your own project, you know, it's your creativity. You can choose to do something, you know, interesting. So, I mean, I the way I feel fight choreography is going at the moment.
Yeah.
I have a few ideas on my own ideas on action choreography that, you know, I'd like to explore a little bit. So, you know, you might find me directing a film sometime this year, I hope, when I have had time. Because you know, there's definitely looking at what Hollywood's doing and, you know, Asia's doing, I kind of feel like I know a little, my style of choreography that is probably not really being done right now.
Okay.
So, you know, I think I'd like to explore that a little bit.
Wow, there you go. You've heard it here, folks. First, David. No, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, mate. Blindsided the Game is out there at the moment. Check it out. If you haven't seen that or David's work, obviously you won't be able to catch him on Neighbours or Home and Away, sadly. But it's been really cool to talk to you, David, mate. Wish you all the best with your future projects. We look forward to seeing you in the films, directing the films, all that sort of thing in the future, mate. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, mate. And I hope I get a chance to come back to Oz sometime. And, you know, Oz is still my home. It's still where I grew up, and I still care about the Oz film industry as well. And, you know, for a long time, I've really wanted, you know, more multicultural casting and more international feeling projects and all that sort of thing. And, you know, from afar, I end up getting preoccupied with, you know, working.
Yeah.
But from afar, I can sort of see that, you know, slowly, there has been changes in the Australian industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd love to come back and do something in Australia, whether that be my project or someone else's project.
Yeah. Finally, the big explosive Australian action film might happen, you reckon?
Mm.
Be good to see.
Look, I mean, that's another thing about even Australian stunt guys. Australian stunt guys need to be graded and ratified at a stunt grading committee.
Yeah.
And so they have to provide video evidence of what they can do.
Right.
So even Australian stunt guys, they have to shoot footage of them doing stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of them get into making short films. You know, they're also developing filmmaking skills.
Totally. We might yet see it, mate. The big action spectacle down under, the thunder from down under. David, no, thank you for being on podcasting them softly, mate.
Have a good one.
All right, mate. See you later.